Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with Base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news, there's a club for you, the Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Do me a favor, before we get started here, find that subscribe button wherever you're listening from right now, and go ahead and give it a click. We put out interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Consequence of Sound. Would love to keep you up to date on every single one of those. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Cherry Glazer, talking with Clementine Creevy. Clem, as she goes by. Cherry Glazer's just put out a new record called Stuffed and Ready. It is a monster. In fact, we're going to talk about that huge new sound that has a lot to do with modifying a guitar. She's a big guitar fan, so we're going to get into the weeds on that one as well. There's also some discussion on working with Psychic Temple while she was doing this record, getting some stories behind songs Daddy and Wasted Nun and Self-Explain, three songs that take on big issues, whether it be the patriarchy, self-destruction, or solitude. We'll also talk about connecting to her early work as it was written when she was pretty young, her big dream for the future, getting her own beer, the Glaze Effect beer, and beating scalpers. There's a lot going on in this interview. It's Kyle Meredith with Cherry Glazer.
Hi, Kyle from Louisville. How are you? It's Clem.
All the props on Stuffed and Ready. It's a powerful, massive record.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to make.
I think I read about, you know, you kind of went into this wanting to be a bigger sound, right? Was that part of it?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to make an album of, like, big studio rock bangers.
Well, I guess from what I know from reading about you and everything, you're a guitar fanatic, and I'm sure that plays into it. But have you ever been interested in creating your own guitar?
Yeah, I would love that. The guitar I play now is modded, so I just, it's like a new Fender Strat. It's an American Strat. It's a Strat Standard that I got in 2017. And it's nice because it's a perfect guitar for me. It's like punchy and loud and makes these big punchy clean sound that I love. It's great rock guitar. But we modded it, so we took out like everything but the humbucker pickup, which is the one that I use. So everything is kind of like wiped out from it. So there's two holes where the old pickups used to be, and then there's a humbucker pickup, and there's no tone knob. There's just a volume knob. And I would love to make that guitar and like have a version of it that could be like my signature model.
Well, there's some great artists. Well, I mean, there's great artists that's done that through history and everything. But I feel like that is happening more and more lately, that you kind of hear that, like you, you finally find your perfect sound or the one you're interested in actually at the moment. And then it's like, okay, I want to make that.
Yeah, it's cool because it's like it makes it even louder. and a little bit more aggressive sounding, and it's also lighter, which is nice.
That's why this record, I guess, sounds the way it does in that way. Did, you know, finding that guitar and working with the sound come first, or having a vision for the album kind of direct you toward that guitar?
That's a good question. I think maybe a little bit of both. It's kind of serendipitous. They sort of came together. I think I was touring with the guitar before we started recording, and so it definitely inspired me a little bit. But also, I stacked a million guitars, which is something I always do.
I'm a big fan of that.
Thanks. It's so much fun. Why not, you know?
I know this is, as part of the story goes, I mean, this is the second version of this album. You know, there was an earlier version you weren't as happy with. And I feel like that's always a big step for a band. And, I mean, potentially puts a lot on the line. I don't know if that felt like jumping off of a cliff or not, but especially when you have record labels and everything else involved, was that a scary moment?
Yeah, it was. It was a decision that had to be made, though, and I felt comfortable after I had made it. I wasn't necessarily not happy with the other record. I love the other record. It just wasn't what I wanted to put out at this time. It's sort of softer and more meandering and has more of a live feel. And I wanted to put out an album that was more massive and hard-hitting.
With monster jams. I forget what you said a minute ago.
I wanted to, like, craft songs. And with the help of Carlos, I feel like I really was able to do that. He pushed me to write the best songs that I could, and it was great.
Now, at the same time, were you doing the so you did also collaborated with Psychic Temple, which came out, what was it, the end of the year and everything. And I don't know, was that all happening at the same time?
Yeah, it was. We had like a little bit of a break, and so we went out to the desert and recorded that album, and it was so much fun. It really taught me to sort of forget about everything and drop everything and just do it, you know, and not worry about having all the right stuff. And I don't know, it taught me to jump into something. And we recorded the whole album in like 24 hours, I think. And it was really fun. Chris brings a lot of like good energy out of everyone he's around, I feel like.
Yeah. What a cool situation to be in, but sort of unique, so because cool. You were right in the middle of, you know, kind of constructing something. That's why I was curious if one kind of rubbed off on the other.
I think in a way, maybe I was definitely like primed for the studio, but with the experience with Chris, it was like, drop everything, go to the desert, don't worry about it, figure out the songs and what they're going to be when we get out there. And that was really just eye-opening and cool for me, and really taught me to stop and think about what it is that is success for me, which is making music with my friends.
Now, when you look at the press release of Stuffed and Ready, you know, in a way, it almost makes it sound like not going as political as he did on the previous record was sort of an act of defiance against your own self. But, you know, I've heard you say also plenty of times that, you know, I mean, personal songs are protest songs, or at least they can be. And I guess these certainly still fit that bill, to me at least, as a listener. I don't know if they do it to you as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think my idea on it is that people and art makers are a product of their society. And so music made by people will inherently reflect the society around them. So I think things are inherently political a lot of the time.
Especially, I mean, when you're writing about yourself, and I guess the themes that you're writing about, you know, I don't know if it's just kind of coincidence, because a lot of these topics are what we are discussing daily, you know, whether it be in news or with our friends or whatever. But I mean, it seems like the perfect album for the perfect time as far as what you're saying.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. It felt like an honest thing that I made.
And especially, you know, we'll get into that first single then with Daddy. I guess I should ask you to explain this, because I definitely don't want to get it wrong.
Daddy is a 100% satirical song about the humor in how crushing the patriarchy can be. And like anything oppressive, sometimes the only way to comprehend and justify it within yourself is to like lay on the floor and start cracking up because it's so crazy. And the song is a lot about that feeling of just like overwhelming patriarchy.
Well, it's got the great line in it, one of my favorites from the record, smoking makes me taste like metal to keep you away.
Yeah.
Satirical as it may be, is that from a real instance at all?
Yeah, it is. I used to smoke a lot of cigarettes, and I don't know, something about it was sort of like reclaiming my own space, you know, and you can do these sort of self-destructive things, I think, when you are under the pressure of something that is soul-crushing.
Right. Well, you know, I'll take another single from it then, too, with Wasted Nun. I mean, in one sense, it feels like, you know, it's written in character, but I guess as to what you're talking about, I guess I'm assuming that it's also a reflection of yourself. And if so, what's the path to confidence in a song like this?
It is in character. It's sort of about a woman who wants to find power in the world, but is stagnated by her own self-destruction. And I don't know, I think it's something that I see within myself that I want to try to grapple with. And the song is me working through that.
By the way, the symbolism of nuns and that video, I mean, it's easy to navigate toward horror. So
Yeah. Totally.
With a loud song, you throw in any religious iconography, and you've got your set up for a pretty good treatment at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to hear one more song too, with Self-Explained, and I know this has also been talked about a lot in the interviews. You know, as you kind of center in on solitude on this one, I did an interview recently with Juliana Hatfield. And lot of her new record, a lot of her new record, the Weird record, she does it as an homage to solitude. She's like, you know what, this is me and this is what I like and I shouldn't be ashamed of this. And I almost feel like, you know, this is sort of hitting on the same kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think as humans, we want to like congregate and we're fulfilled by socialization, but there's also within all of us a need for solitude, and that isn't something that I think is necessarily celebrated. And I think it's something that we have to find within ourselves and celebrate for ourselves. And, you know, that's harder to do than stuff that is sort of publicly celebrated. For sure.
I mean, I grappled with that for, I feel, a lot of years as well. And having, you know, Juliana take it on and having you take it on with this song right here. It is. It makes me feel a little bit better about it. I like being inside. I like being away from the things, you know, and the peoples.
Definitely. Of course. Yeah, you're not alone in that.
I appreciate that. So,
you
know, now as you have several records under your belt and to have your early material written, I guess, so young, do you still feel connected to that? Because I know a lot of artists tend to find themselves embarrassed by their early work, but, you know, as,
I don't feel that way. I'm not embarrassed by my early work. Sometimes I think it's kind of funny, but no, I try to have love and respect for my early work, but it is a little bit of a practice. I think that's something I found recently. I've learned to practice sort of a trust in the process and sort of tried to practice a love and respect for my early work, for sure.
Well, I've always been a fan of what you put out and everything. What happens
Thank
next
you.
For you? I mean, the record is out, and I'm guessing, you know, that's kind of sets the year into play for you, but is there, you know, any other big fun moments you got in the future?
Right now, my goal is to headline the Hollywood Bowl.
All right. Yes.
And I don't know. I get so excited about playing live, and I feel very natural on the road. I love playing every night. It's my favorite thing to do. And I feel really lucky and grateful that I'm in a band that is able to do that. So I like the idea of taking that and running with it. I've had some stage ideas too. And I'm also thinking about the next record, obviously. It's funny. It's like this record came out, but I'm just like, oh yeah, stuff's ready. Yeah, that old thing. Yeah, whatever. I'm completely on the next record.
The next one. I'll point out, you know, one fun thing that I noticed that there is now, you've got your own beer, the Glaze Effect beer.
Yeah.
who did this? And what's the deal behind it?
Well, this guy Grant from a brewing company in Chicago reached out to me. I guess we have some mutual friends, and he knows my family. I have a big family out in Chicago, and he hit me up and was like, let's design a beer together to sell at your show at the Bottom Lounge. And I was like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. Yeah. So yeah, we worked together on the beer and the flavor palette and the design. He got this great artist to do the design based on a few ideas that the both of us had. And I wanted to do, I like Pilsners and I like Blonde Ales. I don't like IPAs. I think they're just kind of, they're so like over, I feel like I'm just over it with IPAs, you know? So I was really excited that he could do a blonde ale, and I'm really excited to try it.
And I'll echo you, by the way. I can't, of course, attest to the taste. I have not tasted it, but the can looks awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Did I see that you all, I mean, you kind of took on the scalpers recently and maybe won?
Yeah.
I don't know. What happened there?
Yeah, well, we were surprised that one of our shows in LA sold out just a few days after it was put on sale. So we looked into it and realized that some fucking scalper had swooped up a large portion of tickets. And it was the venue and our manager who caught it. And thankfully they did. And we don't like scalpers, obviously. Fuck that shit. So we reclaimed the tickets and put new ones on sale.
I know a lot of artists are trying to figure that game out and to see you, you know, not taking that from them. I mean, that's awesome. That's huge.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I go to a lot of shows personally, and I would be upset. So I just think about that.
Right, right. Well, thank you for, you know, keeping an eye on that and taking that stuff on. But, you know, on the bigger issue here, congratulations again on Stuffed and Ready. Even if it is that old record, you know, that...
Thank you so much.
No, it's so fun to listen to this one. And Clem, thanks again for taking the time to talk to me today. We'll see
you. Thank you. Thanks for a great interview. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, my thanks to Clem. Cherry Glazer's new record, Stuffed and Ready. It's out now. And if you haven't already, please do hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening from, whether that's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes, Acast, Podchaser, wherever you get your podcast from, hit the subscribe button and keep up with us. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you can also find some bonus episodes of this series. Head over to consequenceofsound.net for all your music and film news needs. You can find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. Does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.